handout, the Pew Bible, page 106, where this passage is, your own Bible, which I cannot tell you which page it's on, but you know well enough how to get there. If you would stand with me, please, as we are reading verses 36 through 41 of Acts chapter 15. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord, and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Please be seated. Some of you know that I spend a fair amount of time working on wording on a number of occasions. That is the case for our introduction, which is why it's on your handout today as opposed to being on PowerPoint slides. In last week's passage, the council in Jerusalem affirmed the ministry of Barnabas and Paul preaching Jesus to Gentiles without a demand to become Jewish proselytes first. Jews who come to faith in Jesus may retain their Jewish culture with greater understanding that their feasts, holy days, and sacrifices have their fulfillment in Jesus' earthly ministry. Gentiles may retain their Gentile culture minus religious practices that deal with idols and idol worship, plus the redeemed ethics of faith in Jesus. Jews and Gentiles come into a new entity called the church in unity by faith in Jesus, where rightly understood scripture rules and overrules both culture and preference. The council in Jerusalem concluded with the letter and witnesses going to Antioch with the answer to the Jewish proselyte first question. Acts 15:34 records Silas remaining in Antioch when others returned to Jerusalem. I recognize that that's quick, it's condensed, it's not meant to bring anything brand new per se, but one of the things that is listed there, that America has significant problem, is rightly understood scripture rules and overrules both culture and preference. Amen. We recognize that there are passages of scripture that absolutely say this, but in case you haven't noticed, the American culture, or whatever, not meaning it inferior, but subculture in America, is trying to squeeze us into its mold by saying our culture is right when scripture should be overruling certain practices in every culture to say you need to quit that and move on. Now, having said that, I'm not going to try to identify exactly what those things are. However, if you listen to the news, you're going to hear a ton of things in the news that as a believer, we're going to look at it and we're going to say, that's not right. So we as believers need to understand Scripture rightly divided so that we can personalize it and live it and therefore be the influence into our culture, not the culture influencing us. Amen. This passage does not necessarily address culture per se, but that was an important thing to say coming toward this passage. We are studying Acts 15, verses 36 through 41, with observations and applications at the end. On occasions, you know that I've got point application, point application, point application, so forth, and sometimes the nature of the passage is such that it just needs to be taught through, and then at the end we say, okay, where have we been? What have we been seeing? And that is the case for today. With our study of Acts 15, verses 36 through 41, it begins by saying, after some days. So what was going on? Well, Barnabas and Paul went to Jerusalem, and there may have been some others from Antioch who also went to Jerusalem, but they went there to argue the case for Gentiles do not need to be circumcised in order to become believers. Stated another way is the Jewish proselyte first question. Do believers need to obey the law in order to be believers? Well, the answer is no, we don't need to obey it because we are incapable of obeying it in ourselves. The Lord Jesus Christ, without sin, obeyed fully the law, became our sacrifice for sin, and as a result of that, fulfilled the entire law so that we are free in Jesus. Now, in case you've ever gotten confused with this, there is grace in the law, and there is law in grace. We go, some would say, no. It's either grace or it's law. No, that's not how it works. Because in the law, God says, I want to forgive you. That means grace. Well, how am I going to forgive you? Well, I gave you a sacrifice for sin so that by faith, you would offer the sacrifice, believing that God forgives because of the death of the innocent one, so that Scripture can point forward to say, oh, and there's the innocent one right there. His name is Jesus. And we read in the New Testament, Paul writing such things as the law of Christ. Do good to others as you have the power to do, and such things. So they went up there to argue, people do not need to be circumcised in order to come to Christ. They came up with a letter, said, stay away from blood, stay away from immorality, and stay away from things strangled. I'm not quite sure why that fit in there, because we don't have everything that happened in Jerusalem during that question. But that was part of the letter. In Jerusalem, they said, you know what? we're not only going to write the letter, but we're going to send some of our guys with you back to Antioch so that all you people in Antioch can say to the guys who came from Jerusalem, is this what happened? So that you can be certain that the apostles and leaders in Jerusalem really believe this, and it's not Paul and Barnabas went on a little trip and came home later with a letter saying, see, we're right. The church said this, and they came as witnesses. So they came, Silas decided to stay, others went back to Jerusalem, and after some days. How many is some days? I don't know, and neither do you, because Scripture doesn't tell us. It's saying, after a while, time passed. How much time? It doesn't tell us. So, Paul says to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are. And for several weeks there, we were relating how the word of the Lord was another way of saying the gospel. We were giving them the gospel, the word of the Lord. Now, when we think about this, we go, okay. They went on what we call the first missionary journey, which means there at least is a second. And he just said, let's go back and visit them. So, my mind working as it does, says something like this. On the next slide there, please. There we are. What is the difference between visiting the Gettysburg battlefield, visiting Aunt Arlene, and visiting my sick friend at the hospital? It's all the same word, visiting. But are we doing the same thing? No, we're not. When we visit the Gettysburg battlefield, we are there to see something of a historical significance and perhaps learn some more stuff. When we visit Aunt Arlene, it's because we have a relationship and we want to maintain the contact, the friendship, the family aspect of it. But when we visit my sick friend in the hospital, we're not there to learn something from them, nor are we there simply to maintain the relationship. We are there seeking to encourage them. We are there trying to find out how are they doing. The idea of maybe they just had an operation. How did it go? Was it a successful operation? Did they get everything that they thought they needed to? Did they take too much stuff out? Were they supposed to leave something there and they didn't? Does it hurt? Can you walk? Will he be able to play piano after this, doctor? Well, if he couldn't play before, no. He's not going to be able to play after. Anyway, but we're there ministering. We're there to encourage, to strengthen. We're there so that we can find out how better to pray for someone. And we're going to pray to the Lord who is able to do something when we're not. So visiting is a very different thing depending upon the context. Here, we have a situation. Paul says, let's go visit them. Barnabas is in agreement in principle, but not in practice. Well, what do you mean in principle, not in practice? Well, do you remember that the name Barnabas is not the name his mother gave him or his father? You see, we have already studied this, but to look at it again from Acts chapter 4. Now, Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. His lifestyle, his ministry, everybody looks at it and says, son of encouragement. What this guy does is encourage. Therefore, we are not surprised that the son of encouragement would want to encourage someone. In other words, Barnabas, as a Levite, has been serving as a helper, an assistant, and he is an encourager. He seems to see his ministry as enabling others to shine for Jesus. That's a guy I want on my team. Yeah, let's go get him. We can do, you know. He's out there saying, yes, yes, I'll help with it and all of the rest. Now, on the other hand, let's consider part of Paul's testimony from Galatians chapter 1. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Anybody out there want to say Paul is a type A personality? Okay? Paul says, I'm ready, let's go. Well, somebody may say, okay, before we go there, that thing that you underlined there, That kind of bothers me, Pastor. Okay, well, let's look at it. In the next slide, it is not merely, I was zealous. It is not merely, I was more zealous. And it is not merely, I was extremely zealous. It says, I was more extremely zealous. You want to talk about an ever-ready rabbit. You know, the guy that just never shuts down. If there is a task to be done, a test to be taken, another thing to memorize, another degree to be gotten, Paul says, I am there. I wanted it more than my contemporaries. So, to a certain extent, we would say, Barnabas is saying, we can take it as slow as you need us to, Mark. And Paul is over there saying, don't you bring that anchor along. We gotta go. Okay, so Paul, a former Pharisee, seems accustomed to getting into the fray, correcting other people's errors, and having people upset with him without slowing down. Spiritually speaking, somebody might call Paul a bull in a china shop. He just wants to be let loose. Let me go. I know the job. I know the task. Let's go. Boom. Barnabas says, you know, Mark wasn't really quite ready. And if we work with him, Mark will grow into ministry. So, here we are at the beginning of verse 39. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. We're going, wait a minute. Sharp disagreement. Such a sharp disagreement. What does that bring to our minds? It's like, could believers in Antioch see the veins on their neck? What do you mean you want to bring Mark? You know, all that kind of, we've got to, we've just got, and, or were they raising their voices? You know, like, maybe the conversation started at a table over in the corner, and they're saying, well, what do you think? You ready to go back and visit? Okay, yeah. Mark. What do you mean you want to bring Mark? You know, and the whole room goes. Or, what did this look like? Well, Scripture doesn't tell us what it looks like, but what it says is, we are not going to be in agreement on how this is to be done. So let's look at a couple of things. Barnabas and Paul separate. Each man goes his own way. Or does he? Now, I know it says here, Scripture, they went their own ways. But who sparked this sharp disagreement? And for what purpose? And I'm not going to tell you I absolutely have the answer because of the supplement in the back of my Bible that you don't have. Okay? I'm not going to tell you that. But I've thought about this and I have some ideas. Option number one. Satan sparked the sharp disagreement in order to defeat a previously experienced profitable team so the gospel would not go forth. I'm going to get you guys fighting and carrying on so you don't do ministry. I have a no vote back here. Okay, I have two no votes. I have an option number two. Barnabas and or Paul sparked the sharp disagreement because neither man could compromise his personality and core methods. I must do it this way. I cannot do it that way. You don't have to vote, by the way. I was surprised to see that there was a vote going on. That's an option number two. Now, somebody is out there saying, oh, no. We don't vote until we get to option number three, because that's the way Pastor does it. And, yes, option number three. God the Holy Spirit sparked the sharp disagreement in order to create two teams of evangelists who cover more ground than one team could have covered. Yes. Well, Satan has that problem. Things backfire on him when he wants to do certain things. Well, I give you option number three and say, yes, that's the one I'm going to go with. Every one of those we could look at and say, there is a reason to say that option works. However, a big piece of which option do I take, which option do I hold on to, is What is my view of God? My view of God is He is sovereign, and whatever He wills is going to occur, and nothing and no one is going to stop it. Therefore, I say option number three is the correct one. Now, as part of the support for that, when we look here at the end of verse 39, Barnabas took Mark with him, and where did he go? To Cyprus. Now, did they go to Cyprus on the first missionary journey? Yeah, it was the first place they sailed to. But there are some other things, such as Barnabas accomplishes the goal of nurturing John Mark as a minister of the gospel and still accomplishes the goal of visiting believers from the first missionary journey. That's where they went first. But there's also something else. That verse that we put up here, which is not going to show up again, Barnabas hails from Cyprus, and he is more familiar with the culture of those believers. So if one or the other was going to go to Cyprus, Barnabas is the better choice. And when he goes, he takes John Mark. So while he is visiting the believers on Cyprus, John Mark is watching. John Mark is learning. Probably Barnabas has some things scheduled that he says, okay, you've seen me do this 63 times. Now I'm going to watch you do it. Practical experience, on the job training, whatever you want to think of it. Verses 40 and 41, Paul takes Silas, you remember he stayed there from Jerusalem, and by the way, in case you hadn't thought about it, it was important that Scripture said Silas stayed there. And we can look at that and say, oh look, the sovereign God, knowing that He was going to have this sharp disagreement happen and split into two teams. One person's not a team. We need another guy for this team. So, Silas, God the Holy Spirit is going to put it on your heart to be part of the group saying to Antioch, yes, this is what the council decided. Yes, I can attest to that letter coming from Jerusalem, not from Barnabas and Paul. And you know what? I'm going to stay here for a while and see the ministry. And along comes the dispute, and Paul says, okay, if we're going to go, there's got to be another. Silas, you're adventurous. You didn't go back to Jerusalem. I think maybe God is telling you that you should come. And Barnabas agrees. And they, instead of going by sea over to Cyprus, and I'm not going to put a map up there this time, but if I'm the map, they're going to go from Antioch by land to the tail end of their first missionary journey and then go closer to where it began, visiting the churches, strengthening them, encouraging them, and so forth. Now, Paul, as this type A personality, maybe his first inclination is not to encourage, but he can encourage. And maybe Silas is a little bit more of an encourager. but they're a team now. And we can also observe some things about this passage that are not in the passage. And these are written on your handout. Number one, Acts 13:2 from the New American Standard Bible says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, and that occurs in Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, send apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. We know that. We say, right, that's why they left in the first place. Well, apparently, the work to which God the Holy Spirit called them was only the first missionary journey. After that, perhaps God was calling them separately to go somewhere and use the sharp disagreement to make that action happen. Number two, the book of Acts is a book of transitions. Making a missionary journey was a transition from day-to-day personal evangelism only. You know, I go to the store, and there I am at the store in the checkout line, and the person at the register is looking like they just ate dill pickle. They're just, yes, I have to be here at work, and no, I don't want to. And, you know, it looks like they're just having a terrible day. And there we are, and instead of, hello, how are you today? They're like, help you? Actually, that happens more with fast food than checkouts at the grocery store. But be that as it may. So there we are. And if any of you have seen me in fast food places, I think that there's a picture in the back of several of them that say, if you see this person coming, you need a break. Somebody else should take the register. Because if they don't say, hello, may I take your order, or something along that line, I will stand there and go, hello, how are you? Just kind of oozing enthusiasm, you know, and they're going, I'm okay. You know, and it's like, excuse me, but I think either your head or your heart needs to communicate with the other, because your mouth is not communicating that you're okay. And what usually happens, sometimes it takes a little longer than others, but what usually happens is I get them to smile. And then I go, that's it. That's it. You know, and then they go, may I take your order? And then I give the order, and, you know, but am I being obnoxious with them? Somebody would say, sure you are. You're antagonizing them. Well, I used to work fast food. I know it can be nuts. But I also know that person who wants food has nothing to do with the reason that I think today is nuts. Therefore, they should not receive any of the ill that I am feeling. And I should be a little peppy up there, you know? It's so good to see you today. How may I help you? You know, and if you do that at the register, the person on the other side, you may need to be ready to give CPR, because they're not ready for that stuff, okay? But it's transition. I'm going to the store. I started out going to the store, and I got off on the trail. Anyway, I'm at the store. Do I show Jesus to this person by being snappy. No. Well, maybe I'm not feeling all that great today. Okay. Did God tell you you were going to feel great every day? No. Did God tell you that there is joy in Jesus? Oh, yeah. My name is in the book. It's already written in heaven. And the only thing for why I am not in heaven right now is because I'm still breathing. But there is a day coming when God's going to say, stop breathing, or heart, stop beating. And at that point, I'm gone. I'm in heaven. So why shouldn't I show people on earth where I'm going? Well, personal evangelism had been what was going on. The book of Acts showed us the transition to, you know what, we are going to leave home and we're going to go into unfamiliar territories and we're going to take the word of the Lord, the gospel, over there and we're going to tell them Jesus loves them and does not want their sin to continue. He wants to forgive them so that they can be sure of heaven right here, right now. And we're not going to do that by being grumpy with people. Anyway. The third one. Do we as believers get so comfortable with what was that we fail to seek God the Holy Spirit's leading for the present? Now, for everybody that is gainfully employed, I am not suggesting to you that when you wake up in the morning tomorrow, that the first thing you say is, Lord, is it your will that I go to work? I am going to assume it is the Lord's will to go to work. Partly because I got employed. I have this habit called eating. And they're going to depend on me to do what I said I would do. However, that does not mean that when I get up in the morning, that perhaps I should be praying, Lord, when it is time to be somewhere else, let me know. Oh, you mean God cares about where I work? Oh, you bet. Maybe our presence at a particular company, God says, okay, you did what I wanted you to do. Now it's time to go somewhere else and do what I want you to do over there. Maybe that's something we need to pray. But for Paul and for Barnabas, automatically it's, hey, Barnabas, let's you and I go back. And if it's not God's will that you and I go back, he needs to show that to us so that we do God's will today. Well, what about the future? Somebody may look up here and say, Pastor, I see a lot of gray hair up there. Have you thought about retiring? And part of the answer is yes. I believe the answer is not now. But that does not mean that there is not a time coming when God will say now. But it does not mean I'm going to stop ministering. It's going to mean I'm going to change gears. Maybe I'll do something different. Maybe people will think I'm retired. But I probably will be more active in my retirement than many others are. So what about my future? Not because it is anything of an urgency, but Lee and I have helped our children with some stuff along the way, and we're a little concerned about some vehicles. But we're also saying, Lord, should we be doing something now? Should we do something in the future? Those are questions that if we don't ask them of the Lord, we're going to be stepping the wrong way. And we're going to miss some kind of blessing from the Lord. So do we get so comfortable in a routine that we do not ever consider that maybe God wants me to do something else now? And I mentioned at the announcement time, Chris Seal, who is the new director for Child Evangelism Fellowship Delaware. Part of his testimony is he is somewhere in the range of 7 to 8 years away from attaining full retirement as a public school teacher, and he left it because he fully believes, along with his family, that is no longer where God wants him. God now wants him directing CEF. So that means he gave up retirement. He gave up a job where he's getting paid, and he knew what he would get paid, to take a position where he needs people to put money from their pockets into CEF so he can eat. All the more reason to sign up and find out what's going on. But we support CEF. We're going to be part of the reason that he's going to keep eating. And so are many, many others. Because we want to seek what God wants in the present and in the future. And the last thing. We must seek God the Holy Spirit's leading regarding when to form a ministry partnership and when to dissolve a ministry partnership. If we wait on our wisdom, we are likely to make a wrong choice. But God will direct because he knows what is best for us and he loves us. As we pray in closing, there weren't a whole lot of verses here, but I am absolutely convinced that there is way more meat in this passage than we've handled today. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Scripture in general and this passage specifically. Thank you that we've had the opportunity to see disagreement is not the end of it all. Disagreement may only be a means for something else to occur that you want to do. Father, we desperately need to depend upon your leading. And we tend not to ask. Father, nudge us more and more to seek your leading. Amen.